Hi, this is Monica Regina Jones, and I'm going to be talking about a very sensitive subject, and this is going to be titled, When You Forgive With No Apology. When you forgive with no apology. Right now, social media has been having a lot of outbursts and different opinions concerning the Botham Jean case, especially with Botham Jean's brother hugging the young lady that killed his brother. And a lot of people are saying, using scriptures to try to say that, you know, God says, in order to be forgiven, we must confess, and we must, before we can forgive a person, they have to come to us and repent. Now, God says in his word that pertaining to him, when it comes to God, we must confess our sins, because he that is able to forgive us our sins, he is just to forgive us. But when it comes to us, because we are not God, we don't have the luxury of not forgiving people, whether they come up to us and apologize or not, whether they repent or not. We are told to forgive those who trespass against us so that God can forgive us our sins. We are told to love our enemies and to love those who persecute us and spitefully use us. We're supposed to bless them. So I'm not really understanding how some are taking scripture to mean that unless a person comes up to us and apologizes to us, and unless they come up to us so that we can rebuke them and they repent, that, oh, that's when we can't forgive them. Because this is the thing. That person that wronged you may never come up to you and say, I'm sorry. May never come up to you and say, will you please forgive me for what I've done? Sometimes people will feel like, I didn't do anything wrong, so I have nothing to apologize for. What do you do then? Do you say, well, until they apologize to me, I'm not going to forgive them? Okay, let's just say you do that. And let's just say that somebody does something to offend you or hurt your feelings. And the next day you get up to go to work. And then you're involved in a car accident that takes your life. Where do you think you're going to go? Do you think you're going to go to heaven because you believe in God? Because you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? The Lord commands us to forgive. Forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is mandatory. So we're fooling ourselves if we really think that we have the luxury to walk around in unforgiveness, because the last time I checked, that's holding a grudge. Now, hear me well. Forgiveness is not something that we naturally want to do. It takes the help of Holy Spirit to help us to forgive, because forgiveness is actually supernatural. It's against our human nature to forgive willingly. So it takes Holy Spirit to help us to forgive. I can think of many times where I've had to ask God to help me to forgive people because the hurt was so deep and so real. I've had to forgive molestation and rape. I had to forgive the teenager that molested me when I was 3 years old. He never not once came up to me and said, Monica, I'm sorry for molesting you. Monica, I'm sorry for touching you inappropriately when you were 3 years old. The Lord had to help me to forgive him. The man that raped me when I was a child, when I was 6 years old, and I lived with my mother, my mother's boyfriend, the man that took indecent liberties with me more than once, so many times, I don't even know how many times, it was just innumerable. Every chance he got, he took indecent liberties with me. He would sleep in the bed with my mother, but when she was asleep, he would come in my room. Every time she left me with him. And I mean, my brother was there, but he was a little toddler. My sister was a baby. So no one was there to protect me. But guess what? I had to forgive him. He never not once said, "Monica, I'm sorry for taking your innocence. I'm sorry for all those times that I told you that if you told, I would hurt your mom. I'm sorry for all those times that I told you don't tell nobody or I'm going to hurt you." I never got that apology. And I had to grow up into my teenage years dealing with things and having an unrealistic view of sex, being misused, and all because of this early exposure to sex. And I didn't get delivered from my rape and what happened to me until I was 39 years old, when I watched a teaching by Matthew Stevenson about rape and molestation, and I said that prayer. And that was when I received my deliverance, because see, for a long time, I thought I was over it. I never went to counseling. I never got help for what happened to me. I buried it. I coped with it. I didn't talk about it. I said, well, it doesn't bother me. I could talk about it and not tear up. So I thought I was healed from it, but I wasn't. Not until that day when I watched that teaching and I said that prayer. And it was like, in that moment, I just remember I could see the things that were happening to me. I could see it. I remembered. And I remember breaking down, crying and screaming. And I fell to the floor. But after I got up, my healing was there, because deliverance took place. But the bottom line is, I had to forgive that man for taking my innocence. I had to forgive him. The man that used to abuse my mother, even though I didn't live with her, she had a boyfriend that used to beat on her. And I remember one evening when I was a teenager, I went over to stay with her. And of course, they got in an argument. And so as I was coming out of the room, I see him choking her. He was choking my mom. And so I proceeded to jump on him. And of course, she intervened. She, you know, got me off of him. She threw me up against the wall. But that man never apologized to me for what he did to my mother. And even now, he's saved. He has a wife that looks very much like my mother. They have the same features. She's the same skin tone as my mother was. And I saw him. And I hugged him. And I said, "How you been doing?" Because, see, that's the thing. That's the power of forgiveness. See, forgiveness, you know, I've seen people say, well, if you forgive people and they don't apologize, that absolves what they did to you. Actually, it doesn't. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't condone what they did to you. It's just something that is necessary. It's something that is commanded by God for us to forgive. Because if we don't forgive others, he's not going to forgive us. We don't have that right to walk around and say, until they come to me and say they sorry, I have the right to act like they don't exist, and I have a right to hold a grudge. The devil is a whole lie. You don't have that right. We don't have that right. You know, God is just and he is righteous. So the fact that he can sit up there and And our prerequisite is to confess our sins so that we can be forgiven. He's a just God. He's a perfect God. There's no immorality in him. There's no sin in him. So he has that right. We don't. We don't have that right. We don't have that right at all. I can think of many, many more situations where I have had to forgive people that never apologize. And sometimes you can apologize to a person and they still won't forgive you. They'll still hold it over your head. And one thing I'm learning is that I'm seeing even in Christianity that people really want a person to suffer when they wrong them. And they say, well, oh, God gonna get you. You better apologize to me because I'm a child of God. And God gonna get you. You gonna suffer till you apologize. And there may be some truth to that. Maybe. I said, but I've seen too many people that have wronged me in my life. And they went on with their lives. Now, I don't know everything they've gone through since the wrong. But I know for those who never apologize, they're still living their life. And I've had to pray for these people. I had to pray, Lord, forgive them. I've had to pray, Lord, deliver them. Because that's maturity. Even Jesus, when he was on the cross and he was being crucified, he was being jeered at and spat at, and the people were making a mockery of him. He looked up and said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, kill them, destroy them. They're making fun of me because I'm your child. Make them pay. He didn't say that. He didn't say any of that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so with this case, yes, I know a lot of people, they are very tired of the justice system, the corruption in the justice system. They're tired of seeing black people being killed, being murdered. And a lot of times, they're not getting any time. They're not getting, when their sentencing comes up, they're not getting any time. This young lady got 10 years, but some say, well, she probably not even going to serve the whole 10 years. She's probably going to serve maybe 5 and get out. That may be true. But people, we have to not, one thing we definitely should not do is allow our opinions to be put as a God. Because God is just. He's righteous. And the thing is, we're just striving to imitate Christ. We're supposed to be imitators of him. We don't always do that. Like I said before, a lot of us, when people wrong us, we're like, get them, Jesus. Make them pay, Jesus. Oh, you hurt me. The Lord gonna get you. You ain't gonna be blessed until you apologize. That's immaturity. Because I can look at my own life and see times where I've done wrong to people, whether it was intentional or not. Sometimes you can apologize and the person don't want to hear what you got to say. Because to them, you're dead in their eyes. Because you trespassed against them or you did something that disappointed them, they don't want to have nothing else to do with you. Now, with forgiveness, that does not mean that y'all can just go back to the way things were. Forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation. Not by a long shot. But we have to look at the fruit of the Spirit. We have to be patient. We have to walk in love. We have to be peacemakers. So even though, no, I don't condone what she did to that young man's brother, I admire the fact that he forgave her and he made a public display of it. That is the manifestation of God, and that takes a whole lot of maturity, because I can be honest and say, I don't think I could do that. If somebody killed my family member and I had to go to trial and see them face to face, I don't think I could embrace them with a hug. I don't think I could walk up to them and say, I forgive you for murdering my relative. You know, but it's like, it's sad that even a lot of Christians are seeing this as being weak, and they're quoting what other people are saying. And they're saying things like, well, the Most High God said, oh, you know, they got to repent before you forgive them. And that's not what he said. They take a part of a scripture, but they didn't read the sentence after. We must forgive. That's not optional. We must. Now, it's not always instantaneous, but like with everything, forgiveness is a process. And it's supernatural and it's spiritual, because our human nature, our carnal nature, we want revenge. We want vengeance. We want payback. You hurt me, I'm gonna hurt you. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what we want in our flesh. So I don't really know what's gonna happen after this. I do know that the hearts of the people of God are being exposed right now. I do know that. Many of God's people's hearts is being exposed by the comments that they're making, by the things that they're saying, even people blocking and deleting people because of a difference of opinion, because we have this thing where we feel like, if you don't agree with me, you're against me. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I don't have to agree with everything you say and do and be your enemy. I don't have to be your enemy. I have a right to my own opinion, because we all have opinions. But our opinions and our feelings and our experiences, it has to be cut off, and we have to base everything by the Word of God. And a lot of us are going by how we feel, our opinions, and what we've experienced. And we are placing those things as God above God's word. And it's not right, and it's error. And people are being led astray because people are speaking out of their feelings instead of what the word says. And people are taking scriptures and they're butchering them, and they're taking them out of context. And they're saying, well, no, God said, I got to confess and I got to repent before I could forgive anybody. That ain't what he said. And I pray for not just unsaved people, but I pray for the people of God, because they're allowing their feelings to get the best of them. They're allowing their desire to want to be right to rule them. And they're placing it above God and God's word. So whatever the outcome is, you know, whether she serves her full sentence or not, it's like there's only really a few things we can do. We can either try to come up with a solution, because posting it on Facebook and quoting scripture and all that, it's not going to make any changes. We have to be solutionists. We have to develop plans and ideas if we want this to stop, or even attempt to stop. So we have to be willing to forgive without an apology, because in this life, people are going to hurt you and they're not going to apologize. And at the end of the day, you have to decide, are you going to forgive them, or are you going to wait for an apology that you may never get? Because the world's heart is hardened. A lot of people's hearts are hardened. A lot of people are not going to apologize. A lot of people are not going to do that. So it's like, we really have to decide, are we going to obey God's word fully? Or are we going to obey our opinions and what we feel and what we think? So that concludes my broadcast. Hope y'all have a great and wonderful day. Bye-bye.